This summer, as we're going through different favorite Bible stories, once again, we are going to get selected verses. This week, we are going to be talking about the story of Jonah. So this is selected verses from the book of Jonah. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change God's mind. God may turn from the fierce anger so that we do not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God's mind changed about the calamity that God would bring upon them. And God did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is that not what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And I should not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God."
So we continue our Bible story series this week. For those of you who are not aware of what we've been doing, just before the summer, we requested that people tell us, what are your favorite Bible stories? And tell us what they are, and we'll use them in worship throughout the summer. And we've just had a great response to that as people put cards in the basket out in the narthex, sent us emails, caught us in hallways, and told us about the stories that you would like to hear. As I said last week, some of the stories, the requests have been very particular, and some of them have been very broad. Like last week, the card just said, "Moses." That's a broad topic. We tried to do justice to it. This week, the card said, "The story of Jonah." But there was a little phrase at the end of it. "And the worm." Not Jonah and the whale, or Jonah and the big fish, but Jonah and the worm. That's why you notice the obvious scripture reading that did not include anything about Jonah being swallowed by a big fish, even though we'll talk about that in a minute. The story of Jonah. One thing we're doing this morning as we get into the story of Jonah is we're making a shift into a different type of biblical literature. We've been dealing with what have been considered mostly historical books, historical stories, historical accounts of Joseph and Moses and the Israelites and the Hebrew people, albeit history told from a particular perspective that we've discovered. But they are mostly based in some kind of historical evolution of the people of Israel. This particular story, the story of Jonah, fits into a category in our scriptures that we can call mythological. Now, one danger of even using the word myth is that people have come to understand a myth as something that's not true. Well, let's understand right now, we are using the classical understanding of a myth. And a myth is actually a story that tries to get at deep truth. A myth is a story about a deep truth for which we really have no other way of talking about it. It reminds me of a phrase that was used by, it was reported to have been used by an indigenous American elder who would always start a story off by saying, "This story may not be factual, but it is true." And that's what a myth does. A myth is a tale that brings us into deep truth. Unfortunately, this story of Jonah has in some circles become a litmus question to find out if people really believe the Bible. And believing the Bible means that we actually believe that this is a factual story. It actually happened exactly the way it's written. And it's a very literal interpretation. It has become one of those questions, well, what about Jonah? Do you believe he was swallowed by that fish? It's become a litmus question. There's an old story about that, about the gentleman who sat down next to a lady on an airplane, and the lady was reading her Bible, and he looked over and he says, "Do you believe all that stuff?" And she says, "I most certainly do." And she says, "Well, do you believe that story about that guy who got swallowed by a big fish?" She says, "I most certainly do." He says, "Well, how can you believe that?" And she says, "Well, I just believe it. And when I die and go to heaven, I'll ask Jonah to tell me about it." And he says, "Well, what if Jonah's not there?" And she says, "Then you ask him." Now, we all laugh at that, okay? And it is a good story. But it's the kind of story that leads us down a trail in thinking that we have to believe the factuality of a story like Jonah, when in actuality, it is a rich mythological tale that draws us into truth. The tale about the big fish, it's not a whale, it's a big fish. The tale is a tale that's basically a classic mythological formula. If you're familiar with Joseph Campbell, who was an anthropologist of the 20th century, who has taught us more about mythology than just about anybody, Joseph Campbell identified a storyline that's been used since the beginning of storytelling that he called the hero's story. And the hero's story is a plot line that is used in mythology and religious literature to tell stories. And it has a basic plot. The first part is the hero has a departure. There's a reason for the hero to leave where he is or she is. It's to go search for something. It's trying to escape something. But there's a profound reason for the hero to leave where they are. And then the second part of the story is an initiation. And this is the part of the story where the hero encounters all manner of obstacle and conflict. You can identify this story in classic mythology. You can identify this story in biblical tales. And then the third part of this, and each one of these three parts have different parts, but the third part of the hero's journey is the return. Coming back home, having been changed by the journey. And what we have here with the story of Jonah is a hero's journey. Jonah leaves, but he leaves trying to get away from God. And then the initiation part is the belly of the whale, the belly of the big fish. And then he goes to Tarshish, finally. He returns back to the original quest, but he still has more initiation to go through. And then at the end of the story is when Jonah basically returns to the beginning of the story. We have all of these elements in this story. And most of our lives, we can look at our lives and see versions of the hero's journey. I mean, for most of us, it's we left home. We were on our own. We had our struggles, only to learn that home was a whole lot better than we thought it was. And that what we've done is we've taken what we learned at home and we've applied it to our own lives. And we have created a new home, a new place for our lives that includes not only our original home, but the experiences of the initiation. We all have our hero journeys. We all have our stories about Jonah. We all have the places where we are in the belly of the big fish and we wonder, how are we going to get out? We have a massive story, hero story, going on in our country right now. We have thousands of people who are on a journey, who are trying to escape. They're trying to make new lives. And they are in the belly at this moment. Many of us are in the belly, or perhaps we're not. Perhaps we're more like Jonah after Nineveh, which is probably where we are mostly as a country, as a church, because we talk about this God all the time, but then when God acts, we are rather incredulous. What? You can't do that, God. That makes me angry. This is what happens to Jonah. Jonah's so concerned with how Jonah looks. You can't do this to me. God, I came here to tell these people how terrible they were. And now you turn right around and say, you changed your mind? And you're going to let them live? And you want them to prosper? We get caught in that. And then we go out and we sulk. But God takes care of us. The bush protects us. We can go back into the comfort of our middle class lives. We can get underneath the bush of our health insurance, our salaries, our homes, our IRAs. We can get underneath that bush and feel fine until the stock market starts crashing and our IRAs start going down, and all of a sudden we're having to pay more for health insurance. We're not getting as much as we used to for it. The value of our home starts going down. And we say, you can't do that, God. The worm turns, to use a phrase from Shakespeare. And God comes back and says, my, my, you're so concerned about things now. Where was all of this concern for all of these people that were facing destruction? So see, I think the story we really need to hear today is the story of Jonah and the worm. Because in many, many ways, that's where we are. We are sitting underneath the bush of affluence. But the only time we really start to care is when that bush starts disappearing. Someone actually said this week, a public figure actually said about children on our borders, well, they're not our children. You know, someone said in response to that, a member of this church, I won't identify him, said, well, then I guess we can say the children in the African orphanage are not really our children. The children that get the blankets made as a result of missions of our church, they're not really our children. The children of homeless people in our community that we help clothe and feed, they're not really our children. The children at Skycrest Elementary School, they're not really our children. When we start saying they're not really our children, my friends, we are in trouble. Because that is a lie. All children are our children. All people are our neighbors. And it's time for us to realize the bush that we are sitting under is really hiding from us the needs of other people. We are on a journey. We are on a hero's journey. And I don't think we've quite gotten back home yet. Amen. You know, one of my favorite parts of that hymn when I was a kid was that the bass line during that, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, while everybody else is singing, leaning. The bass is going, leaning on Jesus. But you know, there's a flip side to this song. When we lean on Jesus' arm, Jesus doesn't stand still. He says, follow me. When we lean on Jesus' arm, we're going to go to places that we might not have intended to go. We're going to go to places that challenge us. We're going to go to places that ask us to examine our lives in light of the world around us. We're going to go into places where Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And there are no exceptions to that. It's love every neighbor as yourself. When we lean on the arms of Jesus, we just may end up in the belly of a big fish. We may end up sulking under a bush because Jesus led us to a place where we did not want to go. But we have to learn the hard way. So let's go from this place. Let's lean on Jesus and see where we end up. Amen.